Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Ready? Let's go. Give me a vacation.
Vacation!
Give me a golf course.
70 courses!
Let's get a water sport.
Paddleboarding!
Can I get excursions?
Whale watching!
Time for chill vibes.
Beach yoga!
How about a garden tour?
Balboa Park!
Give me a dolphin. What's that spell?
San Diego!
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Potomac Season 5, Episode 9 holds one of the craziest fights in all Housewives history between Candace and Monique. Drinks are flying, hair is being pulled, people are bleeding. Actress, singer, Broadway star, Potomac superfan, and author of her new book, I'm No Philosopher, But I Got Thoughts. Kristen Chenoweth is diving in deep to dissect this episode. This is The Real Housewives of Potomac, Season 5, Episode 9, The Tipping Point. So this is unique because I haven't seen all series. Like I when I left, you know, I'll watch occasionally, but I'm not this avid fan across. It's hard. It would be hard to keep up with all of them. I bet you're loyal to certain brands. You're loyal to certain franchise cities. And I hear that this is one of them.
Oh, yeah.
That you're loyal. But are you loyal to all, or this is like, this is your ride or die?
My ride or die is Beverly Hills. And, well, okay. right now, Bethany, my ride or die is Utah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I mean,
what attracts you to a particular city?
I think the combination of the energy of the women.
So, okay. So this show, you will be more of an expert than I will.
Okay.
But I found this episode, you know, you haven't been on Rewives, and we share a publicist, and I'm sure she told you this show is not about the housewives. This show is about the conversations with these episodes as vehicles. So this particular episode that we chose of Potomac, there are so many conversations to be had. And as I watched the episode, because I've never seen it, and I know that you have, I texted Candy Burris from Atlanta and said, will you come on in the middle of my podcast for 10 minutes? Because there's a topic that I don't think two white women can have an accurate perspective and insight on. So this morning I was watching the episode because, you know, I do homework for this. And I said, interesting. I think I want to call. I texted Candy and said, and she just came in blind. She said, I don't watch the show. I saw the clips, but sure. So we'll get into that and I'll get more specific so the audience understands. But for the first time ever, I'm going to have an actual housewife on the show because I just really did not feel like I cannot know what it would feel like to be a black woman in this particular experience that happens on this episode. And now I think it's a great episode to discuss.
I'm glad you did that, Bethany, because I too have a couple of thoughts and opinions and questions about the episode. And one of the reasons I'm glad it's Candy, because one of the reasons I watch Atlanta is her.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Well, I don't know if you've met her, but you'll meet her today.
I can't wait.
Okay, so that's an extra treat, and it just literally was an impromptu text this morning while watching this episode. Okay, so this is The Real Housewives of Potomac. So many of you have seen it, many of you have not. I had not. This is a conversation through which this show is a vehicle. So we're going to end up talking about issues that don't have to do with these particular women or the housewives or Bravo. So This show is in Potomac, and these women are at a vineyard, I guess, and they're all talking and they're standing up. And my first impression was, what a beautiful group of women.
Aren't they?
You know, like it was a beautiful group of women. And, you know, I've watched Orange County, and Orange County to me, if I had to describe it, it can be very authentic and it can get really messy. Like, it's a messy show. And Atlanta's half messy to me. Like, it can be really polished and then really messy. And Jersey's fairly messy to me. New York is a hybrid. Beverly Hills, they don't really act that messy, even though they might be.
Yeah, right.
Because they have to act like they're very rich and above that, right. Even though there are Lisa Rinna and Kim moments. So I'm watching the show and I'm thinking, everybody's so mature and having such, you know, intelligent conversations and taking the right side of things. And they all get along so well. I'm thinking, wow, they all really seem to like each other. And one woman, Ashley, is married to what I think is an Australian man. It seems like a wealthy Australian man based on the prenup discussion.
Well, I can't tell if they're married or not. But yes, you're right. Wealthy Australian.
So it seems, and by the way, I may get hate for this, but, you know, the women seem like hot and together, and the men seem to me a little schlubby. So this guy, I'm hearing an argument between, not an argument, I'm hearing a discussion, a very calm, rational discussion between Ashley and these other women about the fact that her partner, life partner, was caught in a room on camera in his underwear with a woman. And she knows about it, and she's sort of going to forgive him, and she wants to have a postnup drawn up. And if he does this again, then it will really be the end. But she has had trysts with women coming into the relationship before, mm-hmm. and they all have this very adult conversation where everybody understands each other, and it seems like a really interesting issue to deal with.
Yes, I agree. Especially, you know, first of all, we must learn, if not now, then when. You cannot judge a book by its cover. So you wouldn't think, looking at her, oh, they're in a three-way. But also, just because a woman says, that's okay with me, I agree to that, that's okay with me, and then she changes her mind after her children are born and says, you know what, it's not working for me anymore. I actually love the way she handles herself with this situation. She woke up one day and said, I've had these two kids. I don't think I want to do that anymore with my partner. I want it to be just him and me. And I think the reason she's wanting to forgive him, and the ladies are having trouble with that, some of them, is because she knew what she agreed to, and now she's asking him to change. And so we're going to see if he can. She's willing to say, I want to give it a chance. You know, I want to see. And sometimes women, it's so interesting. We're supposed to be each other's ally, right? Instead of, what are you insane? You can't do that. How about she wants to make it work? And so who are we to judge?
Okay, so five different things came up in my mind. The first thought that I had was, to prove your point that you made, you're a woman of faith, which doesn't mean that you walked out of the show because you saw that a woman had been with another woman and a man. You may not live your life that way or choose to live your life that way. And maybe you do. And maybe you have your own, you know, your relationship with God and how you run your own life and your own faith. But you're not one of these Twitter, bots saying you're wrong and being judgmental about this woman who has been okay with another woman coming into their relationship, and also who isn't nailing her husband to the cross mm-hmm. for being in a room with a woman, being in a room in his underwear with another woman, when we haven't walked in her shoes and we don't know all the ingredients to that dish.
That's right. What if, like I said, many couples have agreements, okay? My man and I have an agreement that, hey, if one of us cheats, it's over. That's our deal. But I don't know Ashley and her partner's day to day. They clearly made agreement. She had no trouble sharing it. She had no trouble sharing what that agreement was. And now mm-hmm. it's changed. And now she's asking him to change.
Okay. Also, there's another character in this story, which is the show. So now you're bringing this onto a show. And sometimes you're reacting how you truthfully react if you're a really great housewife. It's challenging to do. But sometimes you're also reacting in a way because you're also talking to us, the audience. You're talking to your partner. You're talking to some girls that are judging about it. And you're talking to the audience. But understand that women on this particular show, and we'll get into the housewives overall, and is this okay in the grand scheme and pop culture, what these shows bring out in women. But when you're on these shows, it's a zero-sum game. Somebody's always winning and somebody's always losing. So having this sort of a gem for all the other women, it's like a feeding frenzy. It's like they're coming like parasites onto the main host to like rip at it, tear at it. And Ashley handled it perfectly, because whether it's exactly what's going on in her relationship or what she did as a character on a show, she walked in and she cut it off at the pass. Just like Danielle, when the table got flipped, she walked in and was like, hi, here's the book about me being arrested. She walked in, Ashley walked in and was like, hi, it's on the table. Here it is. Let's get into it. And it cleared, which is shocking.
I thought so too, because I've seen it when it doesn't clear, like you just mentioned.
Denise Richards and Brandi Glanville did not clear.
It did not clear.
And Carol Radziwill book did not clear.
You're so right. Oh, I forgot about that.
This cleared fast.
Yeah. And because she nipped it at the bud, she took care of it right then. And notice how she kept her calm.
Yes. She didn't take the bait.
She did not. And boy, that's a lesson for all of us. When you are being challenged with something that is your authentic truth, and I believe it is her authentic truth, just because I watched the show from the beginning and I kind of saw how the relationship was.
I got a good gut instinct about her. I don't know anything. I liked it a lot.
I did too.
I'm with you. But you're right. It's a lesson of how to handle yourself in business and a meeting. And conflict is when you learn your greatest lessons. Like,
that's true.
It's when the heat is on. It's like, you got to not grip the steering wheel too tight, and you can't let go. You got to just maneuver the vehicle, which is what she was doing. And I thought it was fascinating. But the other conversation that we can have is that I agree with what you said in the beginning. Relationships evolve and change. I'm in a long distance relationship. In the beginning, we strangled the calendar. We wanted every single box to be filled with us being together every single time we could. It was perfect math. Every minute I can get there, you could get here. Well, business got in the way. My daughter got in the way. Wanting to lay and stare at the ceiling and not go anywhere got in the way. And we ended up evolving as to what we had as a formula that had to work. We could only work if we like glued it all together. And we evolved and we became more mature and realized we like time alone and we like our own lives and our lives together and our lives with our own kids. Like, it became a new recipe.
And can I just say, I mean, I have followed your journey and I don't know. I only know what the public sees. So, you know, God bless you, A, God bless you. B, the most important thing that you've done with your life. And I don't want to get into it too much because I have too much respect for you to talk about your child but to watch her grow just like the public, I've just watched her and be so just darling. And you're obviously a good mom, but it brings up the question of how much are these women in Potomac and all of them willing to show the real, that's the question you brought up, which I like. Is how much are they willing to be like, when I hear in a reunion, I don't know if I'm getting off topic here, but.
No, this is a show about the whole experience. Like, it's not about these particular women only.
When I hear in a reunion, well, you know, in the scene, it wasn't what it was supposed to be about. I get so mad because as an actor, and pardon me, I hope this isn't, as an actor, I'm thinking, no, y'all. Scenes is when the dialogue is written, you memorize it, you have your intention, you know why you're moving there, you have relationships, you dig deep about character. That's not what y'all are doing.
But it's funny that you say that, because it started off, and I'm not kidding you, because I've been through, I was there, and I talk about this all the time, when we were doing our own makeup, sitting in our own ugly clothes, and watched it evolve into coming back after leaving three seasons, and people had glam squads up in the Berkshires when no one's in the Berkshires, we're not seeing anyone. So then I started watching Denise Richards come in shorts, which is normal on a vacation, and you have Gone with the Wind ball gowns, but she can't keep up because she has to go that way, because otherwise she's going to look like a frump.
I know.
They're all wearing so the worm turned, because there were 5 housewives when I started, 10 housewives when I started, and now there have been 145. So we didn't have, I never heard the term storyline. I even used myself term character. We never had character, and we didn't say a scene because it just wasn't that. It was really more real. And that's why, you know, me and Kelly with I'm Up Here, You're Down Here was a subtle moment because it wasn't this giant produced thing. And right. It's self-produced. It's just, it's a combination of the producers have to elevate the game, and the women have come in with a preconceived notion because they've seen all the other episodes of all the other shows before they go on.
Well,
so they're going to.
It hurts me when I hear the word agenda. She had an agenda. I'm like, starting to see that. And then when I hear the word storyline, as you brought up, oh, that irritates me. Because I'm like, wait, am I getting played?
Yes.
But Bethany, yet I still watch. And
it's a combination.
Yeah.
A hybrid.
Because I'm an actor, I do know when I'm being played too. So I just go along with it until I get to the real stuff. And one of the reasons I like Salt Lake City is because I'm not seeing or hearing those kinds of words.
Well, that's why when I say that Orange County is messy and Jersey is messy, it's because it's not self-produced. Beverly Hills is self-produced. I've seen it. I've been there. They're controlling themselves. They're really concerned about how to play the game and manipulating the system because they can, because they have massive houses and great bags and can get away with a lot of logos and things like that to drive it. But it will always catch up with you. What I mean is something will always happen.
It turns on you.
Well, it turns on you, but also the story will always come through and something will end up happening. And so the game starts to move too fast. You can't really control this car that long. You can try for certain moments that you are sensing on camera, but you can't control this whole process. It just doesn't work. It will drive you. So don't worry. It all comes out. But the messier shows are the ones where the people like Teresa or Nene or Vicky, the people that I put on my Mount Rushmore, are not because they're perfect and not because everybody might like them the most. It's because they really were just real and not self-produced.
They're being their true authentic selves.
Right. Even Portia, who's a phenomenal housewife, it's very like elaborate and very glamorous, and it's not the same. So that's just my definition of a Rushmore.
I know. I agree.
Yeah. So now you go into that word mom shame, and it wasn't even correctly used, but I did understand the meaning. It was Monique. Who said? Monique said to Candace, you wouldn't understand because you don't have kids. Those throwaway comments that you're dissing someone else who doesn't have kids, which is like age shaming. It was like reverse mom shaming, I would call it.
I thought it was below the belt. I didn't have kids. I don't have children, but I have kids that I mentor and that mean something to me and that I have an opinion on because I help raise them. Okay.
And have an opinion. You don't have to have a child to get you were a child. Like, you know what I'm saying? You can have an opinion on something that you don't directly experience. But it was also, even if you didn't have a person who's not a mom doesn't exactly understand, you that's a dig.
It's a dig.
It was like and someone can't control it either. It's like calling someone ugly because there's nothing you could do. Like they are saying your teeth, and it's just so mean because it's like there's nothing to say to it.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Now we gotta get into this. So everybody's calm and rational about, you know, about having three ways and men in their underwear with women in the room. And what was it, a hooker? Is that where?
Yeah. I mean, they're not saying that, but they allude to that.
That it's a hooker, and this person what sold the pictures, like ratted him out. That's what happened.
Yeah, she did.
Okay.
That's what Ashley is saying, that she knew what she was doing with her husband. The lady knew what she was doing.
Okay, well, great. So yeah, of course, thanks. It's nothing to do with him, and of course he's guilt free. But I mean,
right, of course, yeah. Let's not forget that.
No. Okay. So I'm so impressed by the rationale here, and everybody's so mature. And then the shit goes sideways. So I mean, we're going to talk about this normally, but it's not even supposed to be talked about normally because it's totally so unacceptable for women to be acting this way. And we're going to get Candy on in a minute to talk about this, but let's just get started. So Monique, the way that I saw it is that Monique is in Candace's face, but they're both taunting each other. I see it like
they're poking each other for sure.
Right. They're two, like, you know, they're poking each other. And she says, what do you want to drag me? Like, they know they're on TV. They know they're in a scene. They know it's getting crazy. And they really are, like, intoxicated by the wine, by the scene, by the moment. And it's just escalating.
Yeah.
Right. So Monique was holding on to Candace's hair.
They didn't seem to be able to let go.
And why? Because the competition was right there, like.
Yeah,
were holding on.
I get the feeling, and I could be wrong, but I get the feeling, Monique, that's one not to cross. Here's what I thought, and I could be saying this all wrong. Candace is this cute little pageant girl and very, very smart, by the way. And she's probably doing the scene. This is what I gather from it. She was the scene. And I think Monique went, hey, the scene is done.
Like, I've never seen that on all of the Housewives. I've seen Nene, I've seen Sheree, I've seen Kim Zolciak with that weave situation in the street. With mm-hmm. I think it was, I don't know who was pulling each other's hair, but like this was, I've
her
seen
Nene.
Kim,
it was her Nene, I think.
Right, I've seen that situation in the closet with Nene and the camera guys, and I've seen Ramona with the wine glass and Kim Richards and Lisa Rinna with the wine glass. This was next level.
Yeah, because of the repeat, she wanted to go back. Here's what I thought when I saw it. She's going to go back. I don't think Monique felt like she was being heard. And then I think Candace, in the background, you hear her still name calling when they're pulled apart. I mean, they're both doing it. But Monique is standing in that hallway, you know? She's standing in the hallway waiting and listening.
With the producer.
Yeah. And Candace is still in the caller name. And that's what Monique was going to leave. And she still hears Candace.
Oh, Candace is still calling her name.
And that's why. I don't know if she was going to go to hit her or anything. I think she just wanted to still have that. Hey, listen, I can still hear you. And I also think she probably wanted to be on camera. Like, do y'all hear this? Do y'all hear this? Does that make sense?
It does. Now, I heard that they sued each other, which is a joke because they both, it's ridiculous. And also, I don't even think that's allowed in your contract. I think, like, you can't sue someone else, but it doesn't matter. Anybody can sue anybody for anything. And I also, I heard that they sued each other, but I heard that Monique ended up, and this is the thing, sometimes people apologize not because it's what they thought was wrong in the moment, it's because of how the audience reacted, which is a positive about the show because someone gets to really reflect on how most people would see your behavior. So I guess the audience, if they're like you and I, reacted that, and it's not fair because both of them were so wrong, but Monique took it to another level.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
This is when your mother tells you your whole life, or your father or whoever says, how you react is going to be character telling. And in the beginning of Potomac, one of my favorites was Monique. I liked everything about her. When that, and Candace kind of, you know, grated on me a little bit. Even though she's adorable, but especially how I've seen her grow and evolve.
Okay.
But in that moment, for some reason, my opinion changed. And I felt badly because I thought Monique was the one I liked so much.
Mm.
And now I have this feeling about her that I can't shake. I got over it because I saw her like reflect, and I don't know if it was part of the show or not, but I really feel like I saw her family come together and surround her. I loved that. I loved her husband coming to say, you know, she snapped, and, you know, her husband protected her, and her husband said, we will not do this name calling thing. And I love it when he said at the reunion, I play chess, not checkers.
Well, thank you. I say that all the time. Well, it's funny that you said, so people make mistakes all the time. And I was just talking to a business owner who made a big mistake. And I said to them, and I still didn't think they handled the mistake properly. And I said, listen, I'm not immune to mistakes as a business owner. Anybody can make a mistake. How do you handle it? And I say this to my daughter all the time. You can be right and make yourself wrong so quickly. You can be totally right and become wrong.
Yeah.
So this jumped the shark. And I've never seen women act like this. And how your parents told you to behave. And you can't be an adult behaving in a way that you learned as a child. We're just not allowed. If I acted the way that I saw at the racetrack, people think I'm abrasive now. What I've lived through as a child, the abuse and alcoholism and gambling and the racetrack, is not fit. And I'd be right in there with the two of them because I have gotten into fistfights with people in my life. I know,
and I hear you. And I think where I struggle, and this is where Candy can help us talk about it, is because I had a picture. The way Monique presented herself was class act, a do good for others. And I still think she does, by the way. I think her heart's in the right place. I think. But when that happened, I started questioning
right.
Maybe that was just pretend.
And the truth is,
this is the real person.
But back to the being a parent or not being a parent, when you saw her in the scene really close after, when you saw her washing her cute, adorable daughter's hair in the sink with the husband, who's the football player, you thought, she's a mother. The first thought I had was, you are a role model, and that you're even talking to your husband about this in front of your daughter, and they are sponges. So your daughter knows what you're talking about. Yes. And there's a conversation in your house about you beating the shit out of another woman, and you have a daughter.
And like, how's that cycle not going to continue?
Beyond. It was the worst. It's the worst example to set for a child. And her husband, you could tell he totally disagreed with her, even with her telling the story from her perspective. Her husband disagreed. And I think he should have been even firmer. Like, absolutely not. No, thank you. That is unacceptable. You laid your hands on somebody else and that's unacceptable. So it's Candy. That scene to me was like, he was letting her know on her show that it's not acceptable the way she behaved. Is Candy here? She's here. Okay.
Oh, good.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Waiting on a tax return? Hopefully it ends up in your hands. Fraudulent tax returns due to identity theft increased by 30% in 2023. If you're in a bind this tax season, LifeLock can help. LifeLock monitors and alerts you to identity threats you may miss on your own, even if you're careful with your personal information. And if you do become the victim of tax-related identity fraud, LifeLock has U.S.-based restoration specialists ready to help solve identity theft issues on your behalf. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. Why wait for your tax refund in vain? Help protect your information immediately with LifeLock. Go to LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 25% your first year. That's 25% off at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Identity theft protection starts here.
Hi, Candy.
Hi, I love you.
What's up? How y'all doing?
We're good.
I told Kristen that I was watching this episode that I know you haven't seen, but you've seen the clips. And I thought to myself, I have an opinion on what happened. I'm not blind.
Right.
But the next scene that we're about to discuss and the next topic on the show, I don't have a clear opinion on. What I was saying is that, you know, some of the messier shows like Orange County can get really messy. Mm-hmm. And Jersey to me can get really messy. And Atlanta's half messy, half messy and half like the Beverly Hills polish where people are, you know, fronting and stunting.
Girl, let me messy.
No, but sometimes I think like Nene was messy, but Portia, you know, it's all the beautiful Gone with the Wind, you know, dresses and the Kenya. Like, there's just a different vibe. Meaning, I find that Orange County, they'll just say absolutely anything at all times. And I feel like Atlanta's always been my favorite, but it can be messy and it can be polished. So I hadn't seen this show, and there are different, you know, Beverly Hills is usually trying to be polished, but there have been glasses thrown and there have been messy moments. But I have not yet seen on The Housewives a scene this messy. So there's a moment where a woman, Ashley's husband, is caught in a room with what seems to be a prostitute, and everybody's so rational and mature talking about it. And I'm like, wow, these women are so polished and like just rational. And the next minute, this woman, Monique and Candace, are literally ripping each other, worse than the Sheree, Kim, Nene, like worse than the closet at Nene's house, ripping each other's hair out, holding on to each other, like two men in a fight in an alley, like not, like insane.
But I just want to interject this though, Candy. I think that what I saw is I thought it was really, really Monique not letting go. I mean, I think at one point I saw.
Definitely. It was a hair pull, basically. Yeah. And she was popping her on the head while she was pulling her hair. But it was like really one person was fighting. The other person was really trying to get loose.
Right.
Oh, she was. She wasn't holding on to?
She no, wouldn't, like, it was like she was trying to get away.
Yeah.
Okay. And then Monique wanted to go back in for seconds. She wanted to go, that wasn't enough. And she had a bloody lip and she wanted to go back in, Candy. And I said, then she's in the kitchen and her husband is effectively letting her know that is unacceptable. And she's got a daughter that she's washing her daughter's hair, having this conversation. And it's so clear to me, this is such a bad example. So that's like where we are right now. And we all, I guess, agree. Okay.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, but as far as like, I agree with you about what happened as far as like, you know, it was a bad example or whatever. But what I don't agree on, I feel like there have been other examples on other shows, kind of like, you know, on Jersey with the fight. They've had all out brawls where everybody's jumping in or table flips. And, you know, they really look like they was trying to get at each other. But to me, like this one, yeah, she got drugged. Same thing on our show with the year that Portia grabbed Kenya and snatched her and drug her across the floor, basically by her hair.
I forgot about that. And also, I guess what it was that, first of all, I sort of give women more credit than men for the fight. So at the christening, it was a bunch of men like in a brawl and other people getting involved, like you'd see in a movie fight or Jerry Springer, because I talked about it. Mm-hmm. The intensity and such a close proximity was what was really like riveting to me. It was just so like tight, and you could see it definitely was hurting. It just felt very, it felt very intense to me versus like just like sloppy.
I have hair extensions. You know that hurt. That hurt.
Yeah, because she had on a wig, and I'm like, it probably was hurting because I'm sure getting your wig ripped off. Yeah.
So the reason on the show, Candy, it's not really about the episode. It's about the topic. So the reason I wanted to talk to you is because Wendy is saying that she's fighting so Black women can have a seat at the table. And you fought so hard to have a seat at the table and be respected. Mm-hmm. And this was a conversation with the Will Smith slap. I'd never even thought of that aspect, but people were saying, you know, this is not good for Black people when a man goes up and slaps somebody, you know, on a stage. And obviously that wasn't my first thought at all. I didn't think of that. Mm-hmm. So that was a conversation. And then here, this woman on the show is having this conversation saying, we fought so hard to have a seat at the table, and this is the opposite of what we want. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, well, sloppiness has happened. Arguments have happened on Orange County, and there's been Lisa Rinna throwing a glass, and you know, it's not obviously relegated to Black women, but if Black women have fought so hard, twice as hard, to get to the same place, where do you stand on this? Like, when you see this as a Black woman and you see two Black women on television, two smart, you know, beautiful women on the show, that 5 minutes before I'm like thinking how rational everyone is about this, like, you know, three people in a relationship in this hooker situation. And then I go to this, I instantly thought, I want to call Candy and get her take, because you don't really lose your cool that often. You are smart. You're a business woman.
I lose my cool. I definitely lose my cool.
But like this? Not well, okay, so you speak.
Yeah, because I mean, if we also think about the year that, what was that? That we had the slumber party and I told somebody I was going to drag her or whatever. There's definitely been moments where I definitely wanted to put my hands on somebody on the show. Really, this season while we were filming, I wanted to put my hands on somebody on the show. It hasn't come out yet, but I felt that way. But overall, I kind of feel like as Black people, the difference in us and, you know, everybody else is like, Black people do care about how we're perceived in public, because we feel like how one represents us publicly affects everybody else. I think it's a lot different with, no offense with you guys, it's kind of like if, you know, two white women have a fight on, you know, whatever show, you don't look at it and be like, oh, they're making all white people look bad. But with us, if we see two Black women having a show, we're like, they're making Black women look bad. And it's because at the end of the day, it's like we felt like for a very long time, we didn't have as many great representations or our stories being showed in a better light. You know, we were always looked at, you know, our representations that were on television for a long time was, oh, the ghetto, oh, the pimp, oh, the, you know, the gang person or the bad guy in the movie. We don't get the, you know, representation of being the affluent or the, you know, or the person that's the most educated or whatever for a very long time. And so now, now that we are on television and now reality TV tends to show most of the negative, you know, Black people, we don't like that because overall, you know, we know that we get judged more harshly than any other race. Typically, you know, I know before when I was first thinking of coming on the show a million years ago, I remember, you know, I came in on season two, but season one had already played. And I was talking around a group of friends and I was saying, yeah, you know, they approached me about being on Real Housewives and they were like, oh, you shouldn't do that show. That's a bad representation of Black women, you know, all this stuff. And I said to them, I was like, well, if you think that that was a bad representation of Black women and you think I'm a good representation, why wouldn't you want me to do it?
Exactly.
So, but overall,
Because you're the change you want to see on TV. Because you've been seeing these characters as the gangster and the bad and unintelligent person, and exactly. You want to be the change that you want to see on TV. So that's a great reason to be on TV for you.
Yeah. Yes. And I don't always, you know, I mean, like I said, I don't always hit the bar. But overall, it's like you do want people to understand, like, okay, because if all you're seeing is, oh, the angry Black woman or this lady likes to fight or whatever, if that is the perception that the world is seeing on a regular basis of Black women, then when it comes time to hire that person for a certain position, you'll be like, ooh, I don't know if I want to hire her because, you know, they're angry. You know what I mean? You don't want that, you know? So so I think that's why it's very important to Black people to be represented well in the public eye, because we know we always get, you know, thrown in a bunch and judged by whatever, you know, the overall perception is of Black people, instead of just, you know, judging each person by that person when you meet them.
And when you, do you have some sort of subconscious switch that you don't switch on when you said you wanted to put your hands on somebody? Is this even possible for you to think this quickly in that moment, or why didn't you go off?
I think sometimes, you know, sometimes we click out, right? To where a person pushes out buttons to the extent of, you know, we lose it. You know, everybody mm-hmm. has a moment where you lose it, right?
Yeah.
But I think for me, it's like once the moment is over, and, you know, of course, you know, everybody's trying to break it up. But then I always tell myself, in like one instance this year, the one that I said hasn't come out yet, I was like, I'm leaving. I'm not going to stay here in the scene. After the argument happened and I said what I said, I was like, it's time for me to go, because I know I'm already at that level of anger that if I stay, it could get to that level. So let me leave, because I don't want that to be the representation that I leave on this show.
Right.
So it's cooler minds prevail. Like, you would give the advice to say, take 1 second, take a beat, and try to be able to play the chess game. Like, think about this 3 steps forward.
You definitely have to take a beat. I mean, I know for myself, it's like, I can go from being totally calm and I'll talk to you for so long. But if it's, you know, if like, all that, you know, how some people like to put their finger in your face, or, you know, or that thing that Monique was doing, flipping her hair. Oh, I would have lost it on the first flip. Like, do not.
It's taunting. It's taunting.
Right. Wow. Right. And so, I mean, I think some of it is understandable to anybody of any race. It just depends on your background. Some people, their buttons aren't as easy to be pushed. But, you know, at the same time, if I act out compared to you acting out, it's like I'm looking at as the angry Black woman. You just
that's
like bad
why,
you had a bad day.
You're right. That's why I called you, because I wanted to know if when you saw that clip, if the first thought you had wasn't, oh my God, that's fucked up, that fight between those two people, or if the first fight was like, that's not how we act. Like, you know, when you're saying to your daughter, like, if your daughter does something, then I'll look at my daughter and be right. Like, no. Yesterday I said, you got to thank this person. She said, oh, they know. I said, no, call them, because you want to be known for the person who thanks them. Like, whatever it was.
Right.
That's what I, so you're, the first thought I'm having with her is like, no, that's not how it goes. So were you thinking when that happened on TV, like, as a, you're thinking about how she's representing Black women, not just two women fighting?
Well, me personally, I don't fall into that, because I mean, I definitely have gotten to a point where I'm just like, I don't really care what people think. You know, you have to be you at all times. Mm-hmm. But I do know how overall, like, my family, my mama, everybody is like, oh, they're making us look bad. Oh, you know what I mean? So I know that thought process, you know. You just gotta, it's historic, realistically, because, you know, for so long, it's like, you know, Black people have wanted to become more educated. That's why they say now, you know, Black women are like, you know, some of the percentage wise, one of the highest percentage of people graduating from college, because now it's like, oh, we have to be educated. We have to be good. This, you know, so that people can stop looking at us like, oh, you're right. Not on this level. Right. But I noticed a long time ago, and I don't know if you guys would agree, but I personally feel like housewives, especially all the different housewives, you know, city. We have kind of played into the stereotypes of what people think about each region. Yes. Meaning,
yes.
Even though we don't necessarily try. So meaning, and I'm not trying to say this in any type of racist way or whatever. I'm just saying what people historically categorize each type of person, right? So say, for instance, you know, Jersey, mostly Italian women, mm-hmm. you know, they have had the crazy blow ups with their family or the, you know, and people have said historically, oh, Italians are hot-headed, la, 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 la. You know, so even though I'm sure they didn't try to play into the stereotype, things like that have happened on their show. Or when you think Housewives of OC, you think, oh, blonde hair, this, that, oh, they don't, you know, kind of.
I agree with what you're saying. You know, and so they're, getting wasted, getting into girl fights, like blonde, right. You know, yeah, it's totally true. It's totally true what you're saying. Absolutely. And and it's between the producers and the cast that, like, New York is trying to pretend they're elevated and intelligent in some way, which they're not more. I've worked with them and they're not more intelligent than people on other casts.
Beverly Hills, Bethany. I mean,
yeah, trying to pretend everybody's so rich, even though they're not. Right. You're richer than many people on Beverly Hills. 100%. That's totally true. Everyone's playing into the stereotypes.
Yeah. And so I don't think that we try to, but sometimes there is a little bit of a stereotype within a certain group that is naturally there. I mean, at the end of the day, I am a Black woman. I feel like I'm very intelligent. I am a businesswoman, but do not come up in my face thinking you're going to be doing all of this, because yes, I will check you. Yeah. You know what I mean? And if that's the stereotype of a Black woman, then that would be me.
I understand. There's a lot, but there's a line. Well, then I guess you're saying there's a line. And that scene that we're talking about today seems to me, in any situation, any color of anyone's skin, that crossed that line.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I don't really, like I said, you know, I didn't really know what sparked the argument between those two women. But I know Potomac specifically, they carry themselves at a higher standard for Black women. They definitely, you know, when they compare them to, I guess, the Housewives of Atlanta, you know, people.
It's Beverly Hills and OC. They're trying to create that. They're Beverly Hills and Atlanta.
Now, mind you, Potomac is near DC. It's more of a political town. Yes, the Black women there are more, you know, oh, we have to look this way. But it's a political town that they are surrounded by. You get what I'm saying?
I know. I told you, Atlanta's a town for music.
Yeah, we're a town for
entertainment. So it's more free and creative. And yeah, and that's more like stodgy and near DC. That makes perfect sense too. It's a good take.
So I am shocked that they did have a fight, because they're always trying to say that they're, you know,
Well, that's what I'm saying.
That's what
I hadn't
happened from Potomac, y'all. That I was like, I expected this one thing. And then I think that's Bethany, when we were talking earlier, that shocked me the most. I was like, oh, Potomac. Oh, okay. Is that the real person then?
Oh.
The facade there that was broken.
That's good. Then, that's interesting.
As somebody who watched it, as just somebody who watched
it. I think most of the girls that feel that way. I mean, like I said, it's like we can't allow, and I think this is society, we cannot allow what happens between the two women to represent the whole group.
Amen.
And that's the problem. It's like everybody, you see what happens between one, you know, set of people, and then you judge the whole group. And that's the whole problem that Black people have with our representation on television. You know, we want to see us, you know, in a better light. Oh, see more represented, you know, see us represented better. Like, oh, because they're in whatever race you're in, you're going to have people that are rich, more educated. You're going to have some that are broke, that's not doing well. It don't matter what race you are. But typically when it comes to Black people, if you think, you know, people think, oh yeah, I need to get with, you know, the people that are really making moves in this category or whatever, tech or whatever it may be, people won't be like, oh, let me get with this group over here, the Black people. Like, they're not thinking of us when it comes to those, you know, in those rooms. Whereas we do have a lot of people that are successful in that area. Like Tanya, who was on our show, her husband, he's still making major moves in tech. He's sold, you know, millions and millions of dollars. But when you think, you're not thinking of Black people. You know what I'm saying? So I just use them as an example to say, you know, it doesn't matter you know, what race you're in, you're going to have somebody that's elevated in every area of every race. But typically people don't look at Black people as the ones who are top, unless it has sports, unless it's sports, or unless it's music or entertainment or whatever, then they think of us, right? But typically, you know, they're not really looking our way. So that's why we want to show, you know, better representation of ourselves when it comes to television, because that's what people are watching. And then it's crazy because, like, we got to think not just Black people here, that's just here in the United States, but overall as a society, as Americans, when people from overseas look at us, they always think Americans are crazy. They're this, they're that, because they're just seeing what they see on TV.
Well, you're amazing. I really appreciate the perspective. I am so happy that I called Texas this morning. And I thank you very much. I'm glad that I called you because we could not have had this conversation without you. And I'm so grateful. I appreciate you, Candy. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. I had a great time talking to you guys. Bye.
Awesome. Bye. I'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
You know what I was just thinking, what Candy said, Bethany?
What?
I was thinking about Oklahoma, where I'm from, where I'm originally from. If they were to do a Housewives of Oklahoma, when she was talking about, you know, the way people look, I thought, what would Oklahoma be like? Okay, we'd be talking to each other in a kind way. And I love my Oklahoma women. I mean, I'm from there. That's what, and then we'd kind of turn around. We'd have a big problem with somebody, but we'd turn around and talk about it with somebody else.
Bless her heart.
And we'd think about it forever and forever. And we'd build the story. We'd write a story. And then that story is the story of the show. And I just thought, we would nice each other to death. It would never work. It would never work.
Well, I thought it was interesting because I walked into the show and they had this intelligent, polished, you know, really seemingly orchestrated conversation, elevated conversation about the other matter. And she was right. I didn't know that they were perceived as more highbrow. And it just took a turn. So, okay. So we did that. That's amazing. I mean, that's amazing.
Totally. And I'm glad you called her.
We are, right? We're glad I called her. Okay, great. So it was great. I needed that perspective. I don't have it. So, So now you have the therapy between Karen and her husband, which I thought was so interesting. I like that scene because they were honest. And you get into therapy with a spouse or a partner, or even without therapy, you just sometimes have to talk to each other and say, hi, like, how do you think this is going? Like, why are you even with me? Or what do you want? Or where are we in this? And she said she was in love with him. And he said he honestly said he didn't know, but he wasn't. And it wasn't like one of these things where I felt uncomfortable because it was on camera in the way that I did with the with the man who cheated on his wife. Like, their prenup conversation was awkward. Yeah. This was just like honest. She put him on TV with a therapist and he answered honestly. Like, he wasn't on a script. I thought it was really real.
I loved it too. And that's why I actually love that Karen. I mean, she's a pot stirrer, but I like her. But I felt like, here's what I thought as a watcher. I felt like this was authentic, that she did not see that one coming. And also, I thought about it myself. How would I feel after many years of marriage and having kids and we're in the twilight years, you know, how would I feel if my husband, if I said, I love, and by the way, I'm in love with you still, Ray, or whoever, how would you feel if the guy said, your husband, your mate of all these years said, I love you. And you say, but are you in love with me? And he said, I know I love you. Am I in love with you after all these years? I mean, you know, because the truth is, Bethany, we know that relationships evolve and change. I always will be in love with Josh. Are there going to be times, I'm sure, when he's like, I need a break from you for a second because you're driving me crazy. It's just the truth. Relationships
evolve. I think those are just words too. I think in this moment when you asked him on television in a scene when she's working and he's probably bored and it's been 20 years. And I feel that way sometimes after 4 years. We all feel, I don't think he knew the language. It's just like he doesn't feel like he's in love with her in that moment. Because you could get your period and not feel like you're in love with someone. Like, you could be hormonal. Like, what does it even mean? They're together all these years. They're the same person. They're what partnership. Like, you don't know all the time how you are. It changes every day.
It does. And like you said, one time I asked my mom, I said, Mom, what's the key to your relationship with Dad? And she goes, well, I love him, but I can't bear him. And I thought it was a hilarious answer. But I mean, we've all been there.
Exactly. Exactly. So what about the prenup and postnup conversation? I thought that
I was sweating. I was sweating.
I mean, it didn't seem like he knew that was coming. She's allowed to do whatever she wants based on what just happened. Like, it's almost like, you know what I mean? Like, he doesn't really have a lot of leverage in the conversation. But is there a dynamic? This guy's got money. Is there, like, is that why this prenup, postnup conversation is happening?
That's what it's about.
So this guy's, because she's very attractive and she seems really sweet. Yeah. And he seems not that interesting to me. I'm not getting what's going on.
I'm not, and I haven't from the beginning, but for whatever reason she did. And I think there must be a lot of things off camera that I don't see because I too question it. But one thing that bothered me about that scene one thing that made me sad is I felt like, God, is this the first time she's been able to feel safe or connected enough to be able to tell him in front of a therapist? Because the reason I ask that or say that is because he did seem.
Oh, wait, you're talking about Karen now?
No, I'm talking about.
Oh, sorry. Okay, got it. Oh, because she said we should go talk to. Is that am I mixing?
Yeah, and I'm like, didn't they talk about it before? Because he did seem very generally surprised when she asked the question in front of the therapist, and I felt bad that they didn't have that conversation at home. I just felt like it seemed like a surprise all the way around, and I hated it. Not for him, just I hated it for her. I thought, she didn't feel comfortable talking about it and with him alone. Does that make sense?
Unless the producers have said, you have to talk about this. I've had really awkward conversations on camera that I really didn't want to have, and the other person doesn't either. Yeah. I just never understand the man signing up for this. I don't know how much he's been involved in the show, but there's no upside to a successful, wealthy man being on the show. There's no upside to a successful, wealthy person being on the show.
I agree.
It is all downhill. Like, it is all exposure and putting yourself at risk, and anything can happen. Like, so I don't understand, except for the fact that if this guy loves this, if he loves her and wants to stay with her and he's screwed around and gotten caught, that this is the mea culpa that she's going to say to him on camera, are you giving me a postnup? then I logically understand that. But short of that, I don't understand. My fiance would never have any conversation on television. I couldn't say to him, "What did you eat for lunch?" He would not be on TV for that.
You know, I can't imagine. Josh said to me the other day, "Please don't ever let us be on a reality TV." I say, "Josh, no, like no, no. I'm not that."
Paul wouldn't wave to me. He wouldn't stand in a corner and support me at an event. Like he just wouldn't. Much less have me say to him, "Should we do a post up?" He wouldn't do it for $50 million. There's no upside to this. So yeah. I don't understand these scenes. And what's going on, unless it's just because he owes her one.
I think that when they met, this is a very short take on it. When they met, they were having fun. He fell in love with this fun, easy breezy. She'll kind of go along with whatever. And then what happens every time people get married, for whatever reason, it gets serious. Like life comes in, like you said, reality sets in. Mm-hmm. And you have to figure out, oh, it's not just this weekend we're going to be together. We have to set that aside and we have to wait for the next time. And that life happened. And he was like, whoa, this is what I gathered from watching it. Whoa, wait, I thought we had this. And now it's an evolving. Plus we saw him stress out over a restaurant that looked really bad to me on television that he owned. And then we saw that. And then he was really rude to her. And I just kept thinking, get out. He just seemed not fun. He didn't have fun with her anymore. That's what it seemed.
And also sometimes marriages like the idea of the action and the fame and the light of the show. And they think together it's going to be a fun adventure, might save their marriage. It's happened all the time. And it is not a good idea for relationships.
So last
question, speaking of relationships, is Jamal and Giselle. This is where I don't know if I'm judging. I'm not judging him. He has 8 or 9 baby mamas, but like, I cannot imagine, this is where the line of judgment is, where for me, I cannot imagine wanting to be in a relationship with someone who had 8 or 9 children from 8 or 9 other people. And I thought she was such a class act for saying, I won't comment out of respect for their mothers, but I also think she doesn't want to be judged on that too. What the hell? I don't understand.
I've spent a wee bit of time with her and I know I am gathering, this is my opinion, Bethany.
Of course.
I am gathering that deeply hurt her. This, because I think there was a time where she was considering it. Like, that's her family. And that was mm-hmm. her first. She's got these two girls. And then when all this started happening, you can only forgive so much. And right. She also being a woman of faith, him being a minister. And maybe this is where I have to say, okay, Lord, help me not judge, because I do tend to look at him and go, how are you leading a congregation? I would say this to any minister of any faith. How are you? And then continuing to do that.
Well, it's funny because Candy feels that when she sees women arguing like that, or her family feels that that's a bad representation for Black women. And you must cringe when something happens with a priest or a minister. So it's a religious figurehead and you're sitting there talking about religion and faith and people are saying, oh, great. And judge you
thing,
on that.
Another thing that they're two-faced about, and it bothers the crap on me. Thank you for bringing that up. It really bothers me. I'm like, dude, yeah.
Represent.
And you're not doing it. And you're showing your daughters how to treat a woman. It makes me mad. And to be a good Christian and you're doing that.
Yes. So interesting. We had race and religion come up in this episode based on representation.
Yeah.
You make a choice to be a religious figurehead. You got to think about what you're doing and where you're putting it.
You just said the key words, Bethany. You make a choice. If he just chose not to live in the limelight or put himself on, because he seems full, willing and able to do it. She's right. When I've seen, you know, when white women fight, there's below the belts, there's all these things, the glass is thrown, but we're just having a temper tantrum.
And also, we don't say it's a bad example of white women because she's don't. Right about that. Yeah, you're right.
She nailed it on that.
Yeah, you nailed it. I so appreciate you for coming on. I hope you see it's like not about, it's not really about the show. It's about what the
I
show
love means. It. I actually love it because it's in depth and it brings up a lot of topical conversations that we should be having, and especially today, and I really appreciate it.
I appreciate it too. You are awesome, as I knew you would be, but yay. So proud. Yay. I'm so excited for this episode. I can't wait to talk to my producers when you get off and us to tell each other how wonderful everything is.
Thank you, babe. I love everything that you're doing in this life. Congratulations.
Thank you. Likewise. Thank you.
Bye, Hen.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without finger sticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.